would want to present and let you know. And if I know a lot of these things, I may not get completely in this presentation, but don't ever hesitate to come and talk to us about something that you would like to see happen in this congregation, something you would like to see done better. But please come talk to us. We're always open, and we want to hear your comments. We are so appreciative of this congregation. I know the men stand in this pulpit and pray for us. It seems every Sunday, and I know that you pray for us at your homes, that we continue to be strong, that this congregation can be led correctly, and that incorrect teaching can be kept out of this congregation. And that's what we're about, and we try to be. You know, we've from those 18 years, we've really come a long way. Just because the congregation is a good core group, we've paid off this building, we've restored it, remodeled it, we're getting a lot of new members. And one of the biggest things of this congregation, and since I've been a deacon, or really since I've been here, the focus of this congregation is evangelism. Kevin will tell you, he's been here as long as I have. Evangelism, evangelism. Sometimes we just didn't have the resources, and it was frustrating for us. We did what we could do. We did door knocking. We did whatever our money allowed, or whatever our membership allowed with our resources. And it's really been nice to be able to get more resources by people coming our way, more talented people coming our way, but also more money. And you'll see as we go through here, and I know I won't get through all of the evangelism outreach that we're doing now, and it's a lot. And again, this congregation has a reputation of reaching out and being an evangelistic church, and I think that's so important that you have a truthful congregation, loving God's word, loving one another, but especially loving others and trying to teach them the gospel. It's so important and is our focus. And I hope you see that as we go through this. And again, Will and I have been wanting to do this for a long time. I don't have a long report, nor do I have a long lesson, but we'll probably get you out of here early tonight. But I hope that we can cover some of the things that maybe you've been curious about. I hope that we maybe spur some interest that you go, well, I'd like to get involved with that, or I'd like to hear more about that, or what can we do better in this area? Please do not hesitate. So that most of you know, we started a preaching school about a year and a half ago. Started working on it, really probably a couple years ago. But in April of 2015, we had 12 students that started in our Cameroon preaching school. And that has dwindled down to 6 now because of death, sickness, and some different things that happened. But there's 6 students in that. And this is what you'll see here on this slide is the Cameroon mission work, the school of preaching there that we support at $1,500 a month. We also have a prison ministry there that we support at $300 a month. And I'll give you some details on what's happened there and the outcome of our resources, or putting our resources out there and helping them. We also purchased some land for a new dormitory and a church and classroom area for the school. The area is a little bit bigger than a half a football field, so it's not big, but it's in a really nice area, and it's plenty of room for us, and that's been purchased for the $17,960, and I've got some things to show you, and I didn't have it. I didn't send that to you, Brian. I should have. All the dormitory pictures. I knew I forgot something. We had trouble getting my computer working, so I'm not going to be able to show you the dormitory pictures. Todd's trip immunizations and airplane tickets and incidents, he went and taught a short course on Corinthians not too long ago and did a door-knocking campaign there. And then 100 French Bibles that we bought, and there's the money for that. So total Cameroon mission work at this point is $38,541. Also, we reach out and we support preachers at the Brown Trail School of Preaching. So we have been supporting Marco Ario and his wife Maggie. And he's graduated now, and I'll give you some details on that. The Truth and Love Program, and some more details on that also. Our Phoenix support, that we support our congregation that's just started there on the Navajo Reservation. And then also, we put into a preacher's fund at Brown Trail $100 a month. We've also supported Marco and his wife, Maggie, to Mexico and Costa Rica. And he does gospel meetings there and also VBS. And then she teaches ladies' classes. And then we've also supported Willie Alvarenga. And these men have spoken in this pulpit, so you know most of these guys. He's gone to Mexico, Costa Rica, and also El Salvador. And I'll give you a little more details on that, too, in the next slides to come. But those two preachers, again, we are supporting them as they go through. And I think we've given a little more money there to Willie than States. But in 2015, I think, right, Brian, we've given him a little more money. Now, I asked Brian because he's the controller, and he keeps everybody in line. And he's a penny pincher. So he'll, the deacons will tell you, if it's not in your budget, you can't have the money. So we're very appreciative of Brian. I'm so appreciative of him also getting this, helping us get these numbers together. He did a good job on these. So the total support provided for mission work this year is $50,484. Okay, so that is the right slide. The Cameroon Preaching School and Prison Ministry, the first graduating class of six students will graduate April 2017. The students and staff have started four new congregations. Over 70 souls have been baptized into Christ since the school has started. More than 35 restorations to the body, and then over 50 souls have been baptized into Christ in the Banga Prison Ministry. So really doing great work here. And this is six guys with their instructors, and they're really doing great, really doing a great job there. The prison ministry is just really one of those things where the warden from the prison has invited us in and just given us carte blanche to go in and preach and teach, and those men are obeying the gospels and then helping the churches there also. Again, we talked about the property that has been purchased for the new school and dormitory. Also, on the land, we've started a raised bed garden, and it's going to be able to feed about 20 students. And the reason why when we started the school, Will and I said, man, these guys don't eat good. They eat beans and rice. And you can tell it, even their physique on their body, they have all little pot bellies. They're slim guys, but that's all they eat. So we wanted to get them better food, and we started the garden. And it's a big garden, so they're going to be able to have fresh vegetables, and they'll be able to trade these vegetables with the orphanages, the orphanage home that's very close to it. So the orphans have a budget to buy fresh fruit. We don't have the budget. So we'll be able to take the vegetables, and they'll have fresh vegetables, and we can have fresh fruit. So that's going to be really nice once all that gets going. And I won't report on the orphanage home tonight, but we do work with them too in the way of preaching and helping the churches that are associated with that. Okay, so plans for the construction of a dormitory being made, and I wished I had the pictures. It's really a beautiful building, and I had it on my laptop. I couldn't get it working, but I will give those to Todd, and maybe he can throw those up here, and you'll be able to see those. It's a beautiful building. It'll be able to house 20 students, and a guest teacher, for example, if Will or I or another teacher goes, if Todd's staying there, that he'll be able to stay, have a room. It will have a classroom area, and then also that classroom area will be used for a worship area. So, again, we'll have a church there with those students that will be able to be there. And that, hopefully, is our goal, is to have that completed April 2017 so that we can start the new batch of students. Now again, we started off at 13, we got down to 6 because there were some problems, some deaths, some sickness, some people had to go home. But the new batch that's coming up, we have 50 students that want to join the school. So we will be able to get 20 students. We'll get the cream of the crop. And so that'll be nice. And it'll start next April 2017. So also, what happens with these students, the classes that they take are actually a bachelor degree Bible degree. But Bear Valley has had experience with this, that if they give them the bachelor's degree, they go get another job, a higher paying job than the preacher. So what they give them is a certificate, basically a biblical certificate that they've gone through these classes. What we want to do also is we're going to start a computer learning center. Of course, they will learn the gardening from a botanist, and then also we'll have animal production training to help these students. So one of the big problems with these schools, and Bear Valley's experienced it, these kids go, they complete their degree, they start a congregation, there's 10 people. Well, they can't get support in a third world country with only 10 people in the congregation. So what this allows them to do is work part-time in the computer field or as an animal, in an animal production, or as a gardener in a farming community, and be able to get paid for that, and then also preach, be the preacher for that congregation that gets started. Because that's what they do. Once they graduate from the school, they go start a congregation, or they take over a congregation that they started on their door-knocking campaigns. And that's why it's growing so fast, and then we'll continue to do this. Also, we plan in the future, these kids will come out of there, we will not only have just the four-year degree plan that they come out, but we'll have a master degree plan. So these kids will come out, they can go back in and get a master degree, and then hopefully these kids, some of them will come back and be instructors for another school that we'll start. So that'll be really nice once we get down the road. And that's hopefully 2 to 3 years down the road when we get that started. Todd's planning to go back and teach another short course in 2017. One of us, I think, are going to try to be there for the graduation in April, so we will probably go back with Todd, one of us. Also, what's really nice, David Ballard is our coordinator, and he coordinates the preaching school at Watutu, at Banga, and then also one in Nigeria. But he bought a ranch there, so it's a really nice ranch. And so it's going to be another night. When we can go, we'll have another place to stay there close to the school. Him and Nancy bought a ranch. Okay. So, again, if you see anything, if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to ask me or Will after our present or after worship tonight. Okay, the Brown Trail School of Preaching. I don't know if you're real familiar there. Dan and I were there for 8 years in one of the best preaching schools in the area. Very well known for great preachers coming out of there. Marco has graduated, which we've been supporting him and Maggie. He has graduated and is looking for full-time work. Once he gets done with his full-time work, or once he finds his full-time work, we'll take that $400 and find another student, or we'll put it into a scholarship fund, which they have there. And then also, teachers from the school have expressed an interest to teach short courses in Banga. So that'll be nice, too. We'll have other preaching teachers that teach at Brown Trail that will be able to go in Banga and preach and teach there. Okay. The Truth and Love Program. We have supported the Truth and Love for many years. Can y'all see that? That's pretty big, isn't it? And it can be seen every Sunday in this area on KDFI Channel 27 at 7:30 a.m. It also can be seen on the Global Broadcasting Network. There's the website there. And it can also be heard on Gospel Radio Network, and there's the website there. Robert Dodson is the speaker, and really a good speaker. But they have a lot of guest speakers on that. And, of course, if you've ever watched it, there's great talents and good speakers and great lessons. Eddie Parrish, Johnny Ramsey, David Miller, also our Todd Creighton has spoken on the show before. So just many, many gospel preachers. And I think it's a great way, again, if you look at all these things that we're supporting with our resources, you see one key, evangelism. Evangelism, evangelism. That's our main focus for the money and our resources that go out of here. Okay. The work in the Navajo Reservation Project, Josh and Divine, he was supposed to have come here but had some problems, and I didn't get a hold of his presentation. He went camping before I got it, so I will give you what I know. But he was supposed to come up again and give us a presentation and let us know if there's anything else he needs. But they are working on the reservation. Josh grew up there. So did Divine in that area, and so they know the people and know the language. There are three congregations and many other contributors working with Josh, helping support that work. The Graymore Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee is the sponsoring church. And then the church on the Navajo Reservation, they've just moved into their new building. That was, again, many contributors and a lot of builders and gave them products and materials to get that built. They've grown to about 50 members now. We had a trip planned this month with the kids, but our kids were scattered all over the countryside. You kids do a lot, and I'm glad because you did a lot of great things this summer, preaching schools and camps, and I'm glad they went and did the things they did. And maybe we'll get there in the fall or next year. But we had a plan to go with about 20 people from here and give a singing seminar. And so many things that we take for granted when you think about it, we have beautiful singing in this congregation. We know almost that whole book and probably another two or three added to that. These folks are new Christians, and they don't know the correct way to sing in worship or the correct songs to sing, and they don't know the songs in the books. So we were going to go do a workshop with them, and again, we didn't get to it, but hopefully we can get that done sooner than later. So we'll try to plan that. If you'd like to be involved with that, let us know. The other two congregations also worked with them this summer. They held meetings. They held a VBS and a gospel meeting and then a community outreach, which we were going to do also with them. Okay. Let's see. Just some details on Marco's work and Maggie. Again, they went to Costa Rica and Mexico. They held gospel meetings, a VBS, and then a doormat knocking campaign. And Marco will be preaching here on 7/23 while Todd is at the Power Lectureships. And he and Maggie have just done a great job, and we will continue to help them because it's really done help these congregation, those people down there, in a great deal. Willie, he's an instructor at the director of the Spanish department at the Brown Trail School of Preaching, and his wife Lucy. Also, we've supported them going to Mexico, Costa Rica, and El Salvador. And on two different trips, they held a gospel meeting, VBS, door knocking, and then Lucy taught ladies' classes. So did Maggie down in Mexico, and I didn't mention that. Willie also held a preacher's class study for preachers and preaching school instructors in El Salvador. Again, they have a preaching school down there that he works with, which is really nice to have such a talented, in-depth student and really a scholar as Willie to go down and help them. But the name of it is the Bible Institute of Central America, and there were 20 students and 8 instructors he taught on the Godhead. These are similar classes to what Todd teaches when he goes to Banga. He also recruited students for the Spanish program at Grand Trail while he was down there on his trips, which is good because these kids come back, they're taught, and then they go back to their home cities and build up those congregations down there. Michael Moore, which many of you know, sitting over here, we do not actually support his work in the way of money. He has other people bringing money in, and we kind of pass it through and oversee the money. But his last, I wanted to report on this, and let's remember Michael and the good work that the GSM's doing. But the McAlmont Church of Christ in North Little Rock had the 422 total doors knocked, and then a number of doors where someone was found home was 219, and the number of prayers said at the door, 99. And if you've got any questions about these and going up to the door and what they do, it's a neat process if you've not talked to Michael before. The number of people who heard a gospel presentation were 81, and the number who obeyed the gospel, 23, and I think that's probably gone up. You told me last time it's around 30 now, right? Okay, so that's great news. Okay, so 6 restored there. So great work at this congregation. So this means 1 out of every 2 doors knocked found someone home. 1 out of every 3 people found home resulted in a gospel presentation, and 1 out of every 4 people who heard the gospel obeyed it in baptism. So continue to remember Mike and the work there at GSM. And I would bet, I'm not a betting man, But I would guarantee you ask Michael, and he'll take you. He'll put you to work, right? They're always looking for people to go on those campaigns. Okay, so we have been asked many times about installing additional elders and deacons. And Will and I decided we need help. So be thinking about this, and this is a process that we've worked before many times in this congregation. And there's some dates. I will get this posted on the website if you're curious about this. But basically, we'll have some lessons. Then we will propose to the congregation to put qualified men's names forward according to the qualifications. And then we need the names received by 9-9. We will interview them. And then we'll propose those that we've interviewed to the congregation if there's any other problems, so the congregation can examine any scriptural problems with those men. They need to let us know. Scriptural qualifications, important. And then Sunday 10:30, we will install new elders and deacons at the end of our morning on the fifth Sunday. So be thinking about that. I know we have qualified men to step up into these roles. A lot of good men that can help us out in filling these roles. Okay, and then have our fall gospel meeting, 10:28 through 10:30. Phil Sanders will be our speaker, and Phil has served churches in many places. He's the speaker on In Search of the Lord's Way. It's a television program. You've probably seen it. It's the old Mac Lyons program. Great speaker. If you've never heard him, he's just really good and really a good author, too. I'm reading a great book called Adrift. If you've not read that, awesome book. So he's a good author, too. But we're looking forward to seeing him here, and we'll have flyers and information on that for October. So plan and bring your friends. He's one of those speakers that is a really nationally known speaker, so you won't regret coming to hear him speak anytime that he's here, or bringing someone that you know. I know that I didn't talk about the benevolence and some of the other things, but we are continuing to work on projects with the Foster's Home, and then also our, Southwest Children's Home in Arkansas. We're doing projects with them. We don't do a monthly support, I guess is what I'm saying, we say projects. They tell us, hey, we need some tables, we need some food, we need some, and then we give them the money for that. Of course, they'll be back this year again during our Christmas program and our Christmas time, so looking forward to that, to seeing them, but they continue to. Again, those are evangelism outreach. You know, those kids that are there, over 90% of those kids obey the gospel. It's a mission field, and so we're happy to be involved with that too and helping those kids out. I know I forgot some things and other things that we're probably reaching out and doing, but that gives you an overall view of how we kind of spend our money and what our focus is going forward. Please let us know if you have any questions or concerns or would like to get involved in some way. You know, we talk about the good fight in 1 Timothy 6:12 and 2 Timothy 4:7. And also loving the truth. These are important things, and I think they go hand in hand. To fight this good fight, and I know Will and I have talked about this many times, what we see as an eldership, and I know you deacons, and it's not something that you can't see either, these congregations that are splitting and having a tough time, they've decided they aren't going to fight the good fight anymore. And part of that fighting the good fight is standing up for truth. It's not always popular. And but it's the right thing to do. You know, a couple of my favorite quotes here is, only the dead have seen the end of the war. I don't know if you've heard that before. I think it's a Plato quote or someone. Only the dead have seen the end of the war. We're in a spiritual war. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember we're in a war. You know, we don't get our arms cut off. But when you see from an eldership's view or anybody, or you love a congregation and you see it split down the middle, that's war. And truth has been twisted for people usually to go different ways and fight against one another. And it's so sad. One of the other things, and we heard this quote the other night, and I really liked and thought it fit real well. It said, in war, truth is the first casualty. In war, truth is the first casualty. And now what happened in the garden? Satan decided to take war against mankind, and truth suffered. That was the casualty there, twisting that truth a little bit. And you've heard this term before from me many times, and I don't want to beat a dead horse to death here, but I've got about 10 more minutes and I need to wrap this up. This word postmodernism, but it's no different than what has happened throughout history of mankind just truly disregarding the truth of God. You know, it's a rebellion toward God. The postmodern mindset arrogantly dares to treat God as a trivial non-issue. With the wave of the back of their hand, it dismisses the Creator and the Lord as Lord. It robes itself with self-made laws, remember that, values, and religion. It grants all others the right to design their own faiths. It is willing to entertain any notion except any absolute truth. It is willing to believe in anything as long as no view wins out over any other. Postmodernism loves the freedom to be adrift in the sea of uncertainty. It wants no port, and it will never know the true and living God. And let's look at this real quick. The lesson will be yours. You know, the prevailing concern of people today is my faith pure and true? The dominant concern today is, does my faith make me feel good and help me understand the world in a way I find reassuring and personally beneficial? In Isaiah 44, 14 through 20, it gives a story of a man who plants a cedar. He watches the seed grow. The cedar grows up. He cuts it down, he cooks with it, it warms him, and then he makes an idol out of it and bows down to it. Of how silly is that? How silly that he deludes his heart, basically, by bowing down to this wooden idol that he himself carved. You know, we today do not bow to wooden images. You don't see many people doing that today. But we do bow at the feet of the idol of individualism. And we hear this all the time, don't we? We bow before the great capital M-E. Me. Not Brian Kidd me, but me as individuals. I got this. I know what the truth is. I got it. I got this. You know, idolatry is attractive because, think about this, we can tell the idol what we like and what we believe. That's why it's attractive, this individualism. I can tell myself, that's true. Nah, that's not true. I don't like that. There's no accountability to anyone but me. If we serve the living God, there are rules, laws we must follow, and that we are accountable to His law, and it is what will judge us. Just as in the times of old when things went far away from God of the heaven. Judges 17:6, he says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 14:2. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. He doesn't like God's law. And there in Judges 17:6, when it talks about Israel doing things in their own eyes, there was no king. There was nobody to force the law. And that's why they did what they wanted to in their own eyes, because they could. And there was nobody to penalize him. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it is in the end, but its end is the way to death. You know, today we believe, if you were to talk to anybody, believe in relativism. Truth changes with time and circumstances. Think about what's happened to the Constitution and really the laws of our land. And it's a living and breathing document. It can change as we want to change it. There is no truth. There is no law. Same way with scriptural things. There is no law. We can change it as we wish and as we go along to fit our beliefs and our society. There's an interesting story about a preacher who drives into a city as he's going to a gospel meeting. And as he's driving along, he's looking at these trees, and he sees all these targets. And in the bullseye, every one of them has bullseyes hit. You can see it. He's driving, man, there's a great marksman in this city. And the bullseyes are there, or the targets are there, and there's a bullseye in the middle of it. And he went to town, he got something to eat, and he was sitting there in the restaurant. He asked, he says, man, you guys must really have a great marksman in this city. And they started laughing. He said, well, what? And he said, well, that's the town, the village idiot. And basically what he does, he shoots at the tree and then he draws the circle around it. He draws a target around it. And that's really what we do, don't we? We kind of, what's truth for us, that's the truth. So we're kind of drawing the bullseye around the mark as we see we need to do it. But really, there is an absolute, and very quickly I need to wrap up here. And I'd given this stat before too, and I saw it at another place that I just couldn't believe it. That 7 out of 10 people believe that you can't know the truth. That's 70%. Can you imagine that? And you wonder why the world is just so upside down. And remember, was it Isaiah? Basically, those who call evil good and good evil. And that's really where we're at. And that's where relativism leads you. It just leads to utter confusion in our life. It would be like a engineer, of course, we've got a lot of engineers in here, designing something, and, you know, rather than putting motor oil into the crankcase, they put gasoline or Jell-O or Cool Whip. It's not going to work. It might smell really good when you have an exhaust, but it's not going to work. And God designed us. He knows what we need. He knows what our body needs and what our spirit needs. But this is much as what we see in our society today, but God's law is absolute. Let's talk about that. Just because this is right for you, you can't say it is right for everyone. That's what you hear a lot of times too. There's three factors that make the gospel an absolute message. The gospel is universal. We talked a little about this this morning. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 20:19-20. It's universal. Paul tells his audience, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent. Universal and absolute. Acts 17:30. You know, the Lord's church is commissioned to appeal to every culture in every land until the end of time. And I hope that's what we're focused on here, and that's what our presentation, I hope that you see that that's our focus. The gospel was not merely a message for ancient Palestine. It is also a message for postmodern America. So it's for us today also. Also, number two, the gospel is final. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus promised, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Likewise, he told the apostles, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. It's final. When he brought it, Jude is in his epistle mentions faith, which was once for all delivered to all the saints. Jude 3, this faith was to be delivered only once for all time. The idea that the gospel would need reinventing for the whims of each culture is not contemplated in Scripture, nowhere. Every culture was to conform to the gospel. The gospel was given to change the sinful things in every culture so that it might conform to the will of God. The delivered faith is once for all, just as the sacrifice of Christ was once for all to bear our sins. Hebrews 9:28. Last point, the gospel is unchangeable. Paul warns the Galatians, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now the wise old man of the Old Testament wrote, every word of God is tested. Think about that. It was tested before we ever came on this earth. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be proved a liar. Proverbs 35:6. The most serious consequences are directed toward anyone who would dare to change or edit the gospel. Anything that is unchangeable is in that sense absolute. God's word is absolute. It doesn't change with time. You know, if Jesus is not raised, we are still in our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:4. Undeniable and unchangeable, then we are all men most pitied. It's absolute, or else we're wasting our time as Christians. Last point. Jesus either died for our sins or he did not. He is either a sacrifice for sins or he is not. Jesus either bodily arose from the dead or he did not. The idea that we can hold both options, Jesus died for our sins or Jesus did not die for our sins, as true and correct at the same time, cast us into the complete confusion and nonsense. And it goes against the law of contradiction. It can't happen. It's like the law of gravity. It can't happen. Law of contradiction, you cannot be. You can't have those things. Either he did it or he didn't. And it's a law. We appreciate you again so much, this congregation, how you support us. We're thankful for all the things you do. And we continue to hope and pray that we have a great year before us and that you get involved and help the congregation move forward. Again, Will and I always say that if you ever leave this place, we hope that you grow and you can look back and say, I've grown as a Christian and I can help wherever I'm going, I can help them be a better church. If you have any needs, come forward. If you have needs for prayer or if you'd like to put Christ on a baptism, come forward as we stand and sing.
Are there those here this evening that need to partake of the Lord's Supper? Before the Lord's Supper is offered, we'll sing number 380, 380.
Oh, Our God and our Heavenly Father, we give you our thanks for this another Lord's Day. At this time, Heavenly Father, we remember the death of your Son, the sacrifice that was made for the whole world. As we partake of this bread, Heavenly Father, we pray that we will remember that death, the broken body that was given for us. In Christ's name, amen. May I see hands of those, please? Did I overlook anyone? Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks to you for your Son, for the great sacrifice that he made and you made. As we partake of this cup, the fruit of the vine, may we remember the blood that was shed for our sins, doing this in remembrance of him until he should come again. In Christ's name, amen. Ask his left here if there's anyone that did not get to contribute earlier today who would like to.
Final song this evening will be number 708. If it's convenient, would you please stand as we sing? Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep field, Jesus has said I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory.
is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Please be seated.
Go through the announcements again real quick. Before we close with our prayer. So one new announcement is that if you teens, any of you teens who would like to go to the Summer Youth Series, which is just this Tuesday, July 5th, at the Howe Church of Christ, come up here and meet after services. So that's for the teens who want to go to the Summer Youth Series this Tuesday at the Howe Church of Christ. Come up here after we're finished. So again, let's continue to keep Teresa in our prayers. She's getting close, just a couple of weeks out from whenever she said she had Mia. So that must mean she's about ready. So we'll keep Teresa in our prayers for her health and for the baby's health, for Alex's sanity, and everything that goes with that. So let's remember Leola Roberts. She's recovering at home with pneumonia. I'd like to give God praise. We have Glenda back with us. We've been keeping her in our prayers. I guess she's sore, but at least doing well. So it's good to see Glenda here. One thing we forgot to mention this morning is Charlotte is going to be having a surgery on July 13th. So let's keep her in our prayers. Pray for skilled surgeons and for her body to recuperate quickly. And also found out that Terry Lowry's niece's husband, who they were just visiting while they were up in the Memphis area, her niece's husband passed away overnight, just last night. And of course, Terry's planning maybe a trip back to Memphis, that area, soon. So keep the Lowry family in your prayers. And also, let's keep Nelda in our prayers. She'll be heading home to Puerto Rico tomorrow. Not for the rest of the summer, is it? Just 2 weeks. Okay, so be back with us. We always love having you with us. And let's not forget that tomorrow at 3 p.m., 4th of July celebration. So please come up here and at 3 p.m., bring your family, kids. Yeah, that's a good point. So if you're not planning on bringing something, please still sign up. We need to know how many people to buy hot dogs for. If we have too many leftovers, then maybe we'll have a post 4th of July celebration or carry them over to Ken and Kay's. That's that. And hamburgers, too. So it'd be a good time to fellowship with each other, have a good time, relax, and just spending time with each other is always a good time. And then in addition to the 4th of July, of course, let's remember, so we got things to sign up on the backboard for, not only for tomorrow, whether you're bringing something or not, but also for Thursdays in July, starting with this Thursday, which is the 7th, Ken and Kay Bell's house for hot dogs, swimming, and of course, appropriate attire associated with that. So try to make that event. That'll be a good time for us as well to take advantage. And let's see here. And then July 10th, which is next Sunday, after our 5 p.m. service, we'll have an ice cream social. So keep that on your calendar. I don't have anything else. If you do have anything else, it's so good to see Miss Janice here, and good to see everybody's faces here. It's always rejoicing to have that time with each other. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and we'll dismiss after that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and as always, we lift up your name on high. We praise your name above all names. We are so thankful for your sending Christ to earth on our behalf to make a way for us to be with you in eternity. Heavenly Father, we pray that your will on earth be done as it is in heaven, and we pray for truthful congregations. We'll provide a home for saints around the world that will continue to guide and encourage the lost to find that path, to find that path to the one church, to the one Lord and the one baptism. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for faithful men in Brian and Will as they shepherd this flock. And Heavenly Father, as we consider later this year the possibility of installing others, we pray that elders will be mindful of using your word as the single source of truth and to reject the world's relativism. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will base all truth, base all teaching, all guidance on the chief cornerstone, which is your Son, Christ. We thank you for the evangelism work that is going on throughout the world and that this congregation is able to support. We pray for the growing body of saints in Cameroon, through the Banga School of Preaching, through the prison ministry, through the orphanage work. So many good things going there, Heavenly Father, and we're so thankful for the fertile ground and the open hearts. We're so thankful for the work going on in Arizona. We realize, Heavenly Father, that not only are there opportunities internationally, but there are opportunities just outside of our back door. And we're so thankful for those who are willing to do that work, likes of even gospel-sharing ministries, doing door-knocking campaigns. We're so thankful for the preaching, the students at the schools of preaching, Brown Trail and others, producing men who are willing to dedicate their lives to delivering your word. Pray that you would be with those who are suffering. Pray for the Lowry family as they've lost a loved one, that you would comfort them, Heavenly Father, and that we may support them and encourage them and support and comfort them in any way that we can. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with Charlotte and the surgeons who are going to treat her in the coming weeks, and that will go well and quick recovery for her. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with Nelda in her travels. We pray, Heavenly Father, we give you praise for seeing Glenda back with us after a serious accident, and thankful for her being well and being able to be back with us. So many things to be thankful for, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the saints here, for those who are willing to work and to stand for the truth. I pray that we continue to grow and honor your name as we go out into the community. Pray for your forgiveness of our sins as we fall short. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.